This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here, we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Great to have you. I'm excited to be here for the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host, and I am here with my friend Marissa Eon, who is going to talk to us today about her faith journey. I'm very excited to talk to Marissa today because she is a dear friend of mine, and I know a lot about how the Lord has worked in her life, but I can't wait to hear her describe some of her experiences and really just what her journey with the Lord has been like in this conversation today. So let's go ahead and get started. Marissa, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, let's get started by hearing, just tell us a little bit about your background. Tell us about your background of faith and just anything you want to share about when you began to follow Jesus and what that's been, you know, how that all started for you.
Thank you so much. So just, I think is not a common origin story, but I wasn't raised in a Christian home directly. And my parents were part of the 70s Jesus Revolution. They were, my mom was baptized in the Southern California beach. But after they got married and had kids, they really were living life their own way. And our family was filled with a lot of fear and anger. And, you know, now we have more vocabulary. I would say emotional dysregulation for sure. Right. And when I got into the fifth grade, my parents really had decided that they couldn't do life on their own and they needed to come back to God. So that was when they started bringing us to church for the very first time. It was all very foreign. And as the firstborn, I really just wanted to understand how the world worked. And I was always trying to manage the emotions in the house and the things. I had a younger sister who was a little bit of trouble. And I really thought that was always my fault that if only I managed her better. And so as we started going to church, it became very clear that God was the missing piece. And I was so excited to finally, like, somebody told me the answer. So I was at a Christian camp and did the raising my hand. And it was an immediate transformation. I had a lot of anger and bitterness and just confusion, and it all just melted away instantly. My potty mouth was the biggest thing that other people noticed as a fifth grader.
Yeah, I was sailor. Say, you had a fifth grade potty mouth? I love it.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was pretty impressive.
That's funny.
Yeah, so that's how I came to know the Lord. And we just, our whole family became full on in church. But, you know, I had a lot of moments afterwards where, you know, one of my favorite things about God is that he is never finished with us. He's always seeking us, helping us to grow. And in my seeking the truth, just understanding how the world works, I've had a lot of aha moments where, you know, you kind of level up on your journey and the Christian journey.
That's interesting. I think you use the term level up, and I think that term probably connects with a lot of younger people today, you know, especially with the video game world and leveling up in the video game world. So I love that you use that term. It's actually unique. I haven't heard that recently. But tell me a little bit about that. I love that you had this really life-changing experience in the fifth grade and that it became evident to everyone around you and to yourself. And something that I think people often, maybe people who are not of the faith or who haven't had these types of experiences through Jesus, will look at the Christian life or maybe the quote unquote Christian transformation and think that it's somehow generated by us. Like we somehow have made some choice to just change our behaviors or to be different. And with your explanation just now, it seems pretty evident that that was not the case. I know it was not the case for me either. It's very much an external, like it's like something that happens to you versus something that you're trying to make happen.
And it's very difficult to articulate, don't you think? I mean, it's hard to explain to someone who's never experienced that before.
Yeah, and I think the irony is, you know, the first key verse that really shaped my faith was, to whom much is given, much is required. I took that very literally. I knew I had both my mom and dad at home. We mostly have our health. We mostly were able to eat 3 meals a day. You know, just a lot was given. I became an engineer in college. You know, just felt like all the gifts had been given to me. And I really had this image of, okay, thanks God for the transformation. I've got this. Thanks. And then, you know, the picture I use a lot to describe this is running a relay race. And he handed me the baton and now I got to run as hard and long as I can. So I interpreted it as an external. I needed to work on all of these things to be a good Christian and prove that I loved him.
Okay. So if that's what your interpretation was when you were younger, I'm very interested to hear how that evolved and what your understanding is now. So now that you've been living this life of faith for a while, what is it that you've learned about God and who God is?
I think there are so many things. So how do you pick out those, those moments?
Sorry, hard question.
We won't give away my age, but it's a lot of years to summarize.
Right.
But I think the consistent thing is that God is consistent in who he is. And he doesn't have that wagging finger of you should have done this and you should have done that. It's all, we just read the prodigal son story this week in another group I'm in. And it was like, he has his open arms and at every single turn just says, seek me, follow me, come be with me. And it's just been so refreshing. And to go back to the leveling up, it's always just these layers and layers of like, oh, it's not in my own strength. It's all in your own strength. And that baton picture of running the relay, I mean, it's only a few years ago where I realized he is the baton. But more importantly, he is the air that I'm breathing with every step that I'm taking. And that's just been really transformational in how I view the world and how I view him. And he just has revealed that to me through friends, through community, through studies. But it's him pursuing me and wanting to open my eyes to the bigger truths about him. And it's just been amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. So thinking back to this idea that you really needed to kind of work to be better, you know, and then this idea that you just shared of he's really just saying, come to me, be with me, trust in me. He's not saying, be better, do better, wagging his finger at you saying, why haven't you done this yet? Or why haven't you done that yet? He's not a performance driven God. And I really think that that's a misconception that's out there, that God is a God that is expecting us to perform in order to prove ourselves to him or to be good enough for him. And that is a lie. That is not true. God sent his son for us because we were sinners. And yet, as we were sinners, he came for us. And the grace and love that is in that is just overwhelming. And it's often, I think sometimes it's probably so overwhelming that it's hard to comprehend. So people might be tempted to move on, you know, like, ooh, that's really hard. I don't know if I can understand that. So therefore, I'm not going to lean in and try. Which breaks my heart. But for those of us who are really seeking the Lord and coming to him and being in his presence, like you were talking about, and realizing, God, you didn't come so that I would, because of the fact you're trying to fix me in a sense of so that I'm just going to be better, do better, work harder. You came to save my soul. You came to restore me to how you intended, how you created me, right? Restoring us to this relationship with him the way that he designed it to be. And in that relationship, yes, life change takes place. Yes, we do behave differently or perform differently, but it's not for the reason of impressing God. It's because of the fact that we're being changed from the inside out by being in relationship with him. So I just love all of that. And I see what you're saying in your own life, that it seems that you really have experienced that. So I'd love to hear about some of these experiences. Like, what is the behind the scenes version of your relationship with God? What have you learned about God behind the scenes? And just, have you experienced his presence and power in ways that have, where he's been very evident to you? What are some things you might like to share with us?
Yeah, thank you. I want to say, when I went to college at a Quaker university in Oregon, that was the first time there was teaching about the Holy Spirit and how much bigger and more important the Holy Spirit is in our life. And so I think, you know, especially in Western Christian culture, we just really de-emphasize him as part of the Trinity and what he does. And while I'm living my acts of service through, you know, the Navy, was my day job, you know, felt very patriotic giving back with my way more than 40 hours a week, being a church servant, you know, working in the community with like ESL classes, Habitat for Humanity, stuff like that. The verse that in college they taught us about loving the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your mind. I think God was, you know, way ahead of the curve on holistic thinking. And he cares so much about the tiniest of details. My future husband, when we would get into these discussions about, is God the God above the playground looking down at us? Or is he, and I really thought, he's the sand. He's the, you know, he's in there. He's with us in the details. And so the key experiences that are just supernatural beyond comprehension that stand out to me, I have just a quick few, but I was on a TDY in DC with my kids at the time, 8, 6, and 2. And we were in a restaurant on a Saturday, and it's just myself with them, and my back just goes out like excruciating pain, could not move. And I'd had ongoing back problems, so it wasn't a total surprise, but I'd never been debilitated before. And the waiters tried to help corral my kids at that point. My 2-year-old was one of these wild running around types. So it was like all hands on deck, right, at the Gordon Biersch. but I hobbled up to the bath. I'm just trying to get control of myself and trying to figure out what's the next steps. And my sister from Seattle just calls me out of the blue. And we talk on the phone very rarely. We text quite a bit, but never on the phone. And she just called and she said, "Sister, what's wrong?" Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And her and I, that's happened a few times, but that one was the most vivid, where I just knew this is the Holy Spirit sending out that love note from God saying, "We've got you.
I see you. I hear you. Yep. I know what's going on. This isn't lost on me." Wow.
It's such a tiny detail, right? A phone call from a friend.
Right.
But you know that's God.
I love that, because it's also, it reminds us, I mean, where were you physically at the time? What state were you in when that happened?
I was living in Seattle, but we were in DC.
Oh, okay. You were in DC when the thing, that's right. Okay. So you were East Coast to West Coast. I mean, that's another thing that I love, is when you experience life with God and the Holy Spirit is moving in your life and is your counselor and comforter and teacher, it transcends time zones, it transcends location, it transcends space. And that story really kind of demonstrates that as well, because your sister was in Oregon, you were in Washington, D.C. I've had similar experiences when I've lived overseas and something has happened where the time of day, the season of the year, everything was very different between me and the other person, but yet something very evident that God's presence was with me has taken place. And I love how it just reminds us of how omnipresent God is and that characteristic of him. That's awesome. All right, what else do you have behind the scenes in Marissa's life? What else has happened?
Yeah, I think as you walk with him more, he asks you to do harder things, and just walking in obedience, you're like, okay. And at some point, he'll ask you to do something that really doesn't make sense at all, like leave a 16-year career in a very safe government cushy Navy job and start your own business.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just do that.
Yeah.
I'd made that switch.
Makes sense, right?
Within a 3-week period, basically. It was just a complete walk of faith. And the very day that we opened the store, I got a call from an aunt who I had literally met maybe 5 times in my life. Did not know her other than we'd had good conversations those few times, but it was not, I did not have a relationship with her, I would say. She calls me. I didn't answer at the time. She left a voicemail, luckily, so I have it saved. But she just said, I don't know what's going on in your life right now, but the Lord has placed you on my heart and I am covering you in prayer today.
Wow.
May you be blessed and may you be okay. And I just thought I needed to tell you this.
Wow.
Period.
Wow. On that day you had done the thing that he had called you to do.
Yeah. So that was,
wow.
That was just a real, like, clearly it's not coming from nowhere. It's coming from Holy Spirit.
Yeah, we call that an affirmation, right? He affirmed you that day. That actually reminds me of Abraham and on his journey of following the Lord based on God's promise to him. But it was a very uncharted path, there was not a scripted journey for him. He really didn't know necessarily. I mean, he knew a little bit about where he was headed, but he really didn't know where he was going. He didn't know when things were going to happen. He didn't know how things were going to happen. And there were periods of time where he just had to respond in obedience. But then there were periods where it was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And God would show up and give him a reassurance, where God would reassure him, this is what my promise is to you, and I have not forgotten about it. And it's almost like a extra boost that you need just to take the next step in the journey. So I love the fact, I'm sure, because I know you've had your business for a number of years now, I'm sure you refer back to that moment in your mind and in your heart on multiple occasions whenever maybe doubt or insecurity comes your way in your business. I'm sure you think back to that moment and go, God, I know you did this.
Yeah, it's very hard to know that you're on the right journey and the right path. You're just doing the best you can. But he cares so much and speaks to us in the way that speaks best to us. You know, a phone call might not mean something to another person, but to me, that was, you know, exactly what spoke into my heart to say, this is what I asked you. Thank you. Good job. Keep going.
I love that. Okay. Do you have any more?
Does
it also have a phone call involved?
No phone call.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Okay. It does have a phone call. Wow. Okay.
But there might be a theme here.
But this one is more outwardly focused. And I, so again, just as you walk in faith, I think God, you know, just has these little nudges about, you know, be here, do this, do, and things that just, they don't really make sense. But I've learned that if you are obedient to that voice, you get challenged with more. So I was on a work trip in Vegas and there was a big party and there was a lot of
partying.
And as I left the event, pretty late, because it was dancing, it was a fun event.
Yeah.
There was this woman who just was not walking straight. You can read into that as much as you'd like. Mm-hmm. And she had friends come alongside her. It was a very long walk, maybe 20 minutes between the event and our hotel rooms. And, you know, I thought, well, she seems safe. You know, everyone is coming alongside her. But God just kind of kept whispering, like, just stay, just watch her, just stay. Mm-hmm. And she was walking very slowly, so it took a lot of patience. But as I followed her, you know, the friends came and went. And at one point, she and another friend descended down the escalator. And I was very close to her, so I should have gone down with her as well. But I heard God say, like, wait. I stayed at the top of the escalator, and about halfway down, she fell headfirst down this escalator, you know, scraping up herself, losing control, but she could not get herself back up. And all I could see was her hair was about to get sucked. Yeah, it was very visual. But I was at the top, so I was able to hit the emergency button right there. And there was just the three of us, you know, for 5 minutes in any direction. absolutely no help at all. And so I think it, you know, maybe might have saved her life or pretty close to. And as we got her moved to the side and everything, and more coworkers came and helped, of course, we were able to phone call and get 911 and get her all the help she needed, and she was totally fine. But
wow,
that was just a very vivid,
yeah,
just wait.
I know. And you know, thank you for telling that story. I think too, people might wonder, what do you mean God said wait? You know, and especially if someone listening has not experienced something like that before, it's really interesting because as you walk with the Lord, you gain a sensitivity to His Spirit. And I want to remind everyone that He is the great communicator. He is not a God that does not know how to communicate well, and He might communicate differently with different people. But there is a real thing out there that is spiritual sensitivity. And when I can remember when I was younger, okay, I grew up in the 80s, so you guys have to bear with me here. But we used to have things called radios where you would turn a dial to find the radio station. And there were also antennas, and you would raise the antenna in order to get a better signal. And I can remember praying when I was young in my faith, I would pray to God that He would raise my spiritual antenna so that I could get a better signal or reception from Him. And my idea of that was really like, draw me close to You, help me know Your voice, help me understand who You are and what You're saying so that I can be responsive to You. And when you pray that prayer, God does it, you know? And so even in a normal night, you know, it's not like you're on your knees praying and God is intervening or speaking to you. You're just on a normal night with coworkers, going to a party, you're dancing and loving life and enjoying yourself. And when you leave, the Holy Spirit just begins to prompt you. And that prompting is something that is not, I'm assuming it wasn't audible. It was more like a spiritual prompting that just said, stick with her. And then at the top of the escalator, stay here, which is so amazing. God just cares about every detail of our lives. And He was protecting that woman through you at that point in time. So I think this has two lessons. One is just, wow, what a cool God. And then two, as you are sensitive, as people listening, as you guys are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, just respond to that voice. You never know why He might be prompting you to do something. And it's very, very easy to talk yourself out of it. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to say, to rationalize why you shouldn't do that small little thing that you feel prompted to do. But I'm sure that many of us who have been walking in the Spirit can testify that as you do respond, it is evident that He is involved. And He is speaking through us and to us. And I just love the fact that we have a God that does that. So as you know, I'd love to hear a little bit just about what that relationship with God looks like for you. These were really interesting experiences of how the Lord has served you and how He's used you to serve others through the Holy Spirit. Now tell me, I know that doesn't come without day-to-day relationship, without just walking in faith. So what does relationship with God look like for you?
Yeah, so I'd say most of my life, it has been this relay race where God and I are exchanging the baton. Mm. And I just say, thank you. And then I get to the end and then I say, okay, now your turn, God, you run the next leg for me. Back and forth. And it's only a couple of years ago where I had just this amazing retreat in Spain with my mom and my daughter, where it was 14 days of touring Spain. It was just after COVID, so there was no other tourists we were contending with. So it was just beyond peaceful and beyond amazing. It was very spiritual. And we had a couple bus rides, and that's what started my journaling habit, which I highly recommend.
I journal too, I agree.
Having three kids, working full time, sometimes getting a master's at the same time, a husband, all that, you feel like you don't have time. But journaling helps me slow down and communicate better with God, and for Him to communicate with me, of course. But I think it, for me, it does start with me clearing my headspace and unburdening myself of all the fears, the worries, just the small things to the big things. You know, sometimes when he says, you know, rely on me for your daily bread, I think he meant daily, not.
Right.
And again, given all the resources that I have in my life, it's so easy to be independent. It's so easy to be self-reliant. It's so easy to be selfish in those ways. And God just really uses the alone time and the quiet the most with me. And so making a habit and a discipline of that has been, you know, my latest level up. I can't wait to see what's next. But that's just been really transformational. And, you know, he takes my teeny tiniest worries, whether it's, Lord, help me remember what's on my grocery list today as I head to the store, because my mind just can't hold right on to all the things, to the really big things. Like, I have multiple entrepreneurial ventures right now, you know, with big dollars at stake. And he's just on that whole spectrum the whole way, leading and guiding. And I hope to be like Abraham. I hope to be like David and just seek him, keep seeking him. And I just, the times that he shows up and reveals himself, it's like, how could you not?
Yeah, I love that. I love that story. I love the fact that you've shared just what that new level up is for you, and the fact that with all of the competing demands that you have in your life, getting that quiet time to sort it all out and take everything to God, whether it's your grocery list or your entrepreneurial endeavors, is such a great reflection of what real, honest relationship with God is, right? It's the way we are with our spouses. We talk to our spouses about the grocery list and the entrepreneurial endeavors, right? So why not with God as well? Well, as we wrap up, I would love to hear what advice or encouragement you have for someone who might be struggling to believe.
I think in God's mercifulness, he has provided so much evidence for us, whether it's the nature and creation. I have a science background, so just the logic of the universe, how it's knitted together, the beauty of, you know, as soon as your child is born, you start to understand how deep his love could be for us. Just a touch, not a completely, but a touch.
Yeah.
And so I think the evidence is there for us to believe. I would say the most critical thing is to not hide anything from God and just say, help me in my unbelief, Lord. Every single time we turn to him, he answers it in hundredfold. And it's okay if you have to ask him multiple times. He shows up multiple times. He's a patient, patient God, long-suffering. He loved us before we believed in him. He died for us while we were still sinners. If that doesn't say how amazing our God is. So after you decide to make a choice to believe him, I think then we can, going back to science, rely on good habits. And there's a really good book, you know, about being a disciple in Christ by Foster, that gives just a short summary of different things that help reinforce our faith and help us grow closer to him. And so number one would be community. My most impactful moments have happened in women's Bible studies, where you do have the accountability to stay in the Word almost every day. And really just having that fellowship, that community, that intimacy. And that all comes as a mirror of what God's intimacy he wants and the relationship he wants with us, to spend time daily to talk about our deep, dark fears, issues, wins. Like, he just wants to be there for all of it and to give it and to rely it on him. And then just kind of despite your feelings, do. So
yeah, don't be carried by the whims or of your feelings. Is that what, you know,
yeah,
just power through the feelings.
I think that's underrated in, yeah, like, we know exercise is good for us. We know eating right is good for us. Are we ever going to feel like it? Well, as you do it, the feelings come afterwards.
Right.
You start to crave it. And it's exactly the same way with following God. You spend that quiet time, journaling or not journaling, listening to the word, audio counts, reading it yourself, watching a video, whatever medium that you can absorb the best, and just do it. And then the feelings come after. You crave it. You desire it. You want it. And then God uses his magical highlighter with the Holy Spirit and starts illuminating things for you that really change your life. So he shows up in all those moments by you being obedient and acting like you believe him. So I would say those are my big advice to people of just act like you believe.
Yeah. 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 Just put that foot out. You know, I mean, that's what faith is, right? It's not really knowing, but doing it out of a faith that God is there. And I think that really putting that foot forward, like you said, is a way. It reminds me of knock and the door will be open, you know, seek and you will find. It's this idea of seek first the kingdom of God and all else will be added unto you.
And it's not in your own strength. I think in America, our independence, our individualism, our self-care messaging of the culture, you know, we really think it's in our own strength. Mm. I know for a fact I'm not waking up at 5:30 in the morning in my own strength.
Right. Me either.
In my own strength, I'm hitting the snooze button.
Right.
So just invite God to overcome all of those things and to enable you. You know, he's given you all these spiritual gifts of peace, patience, love, joy, gentleness, kindness, and highlight
self-control. Yes.
So you have to claim it, and, you know, he activates it only through prayer.
Yes, I love that. Well, thank you so much, Marissa. What an awesome conversation. Thank you for being here for the Faith Conversation podcast. We're excited to hear your testimony, and it definitely has been a reflection of God's work here on this earth. Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited because new episodes release every week.